Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Adam Smythe, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Adam Smythe, campus ministry and theology teacher at St. Agnes Academy in Houston, Texas. He's also the president of the Houston Aeros Rugby Club. And tonight he's going to be talking to us about forming Christian virtues in the sport of rugby.
And this is the second part of the show we did with Adam. And tonight we're going to hit, I think, some of the themes of brotherhood and the contributions we all have to bring to a community. It's a good show. So now we're going to a reflection with Adam Smythe.
One of the greatest privileges I have in being the president of the Aeros is I've gotten to see a lot of men come through the club, men who have stuck around, men who haven't, but been able to witness really how transformative Christian brotherhood can be, and the brotherhood on the rugby pitch, but also off the rugby pitch. We've had men come into our club from some really dark places. We've had men who were kind of coming back to life after incarceration, who through finding the club and finding support and love and brotherhood and a purpose, both spiritually and physically, and putting their bodies on the line to play rugby, it's actually led to a greater joy, led to an increase in abundance of love in their family life. That's led them to just be better men, better husbands, better fathers, but also better Christians and grow in relationship with the Lord. But we've also had men who have come into the club in some really dark places. As men especially, I think when we feel like we're alone, when we're isolated, when we don't have love and we don't have people around us to help us know how valued we are, it can be a really big struggle to see that value in ourselves. And through the Aeros and through the relationships and the friendships that we form, through having a common purpose to dedicate so much work and physical intensity, mental intensity, and growth, it's really allowed some players and some of our men to get to a point of recognizing that life is worth living, that they're valuable, and that as men, as brothers and husbands and fathers, they are essential, they're loved, and they've come to really believe that and really internalize that.
Well, Adam, welcome back to Life on the Rock. And this is actually a second episode that we're doing with you. And you're a campus ministry. You do campus ministry, and you're also a teacher of theology at St. Agnes Academy in Houston, Texas. But you're also the president of the Aeros Rugby Football League in Houston as well. And we've been talking about the formation of the league and an involvement with forming young Christian men in the sport of virtue or in rugby to really go out and live a Christian life. Now, what are some of the themes that you like to approach in the formation?
Yeah, we typically throughout the year will do kind of like three different almost formation sessions that will go. So in the fall, kind of as the season is kind of getting underway, that's where we tend to do a little bit more of like the intellectual formation, usually some sort of like scripture study. And we've hit on a number of different themes. We've looked at prayer. We've looked at kind of tapping into maybe the season of Advent and just finding ways to help men, whether they're Catholics who go to Mass every Sunday, or if they're people who are kind of far from the Lord, finding ways to just kind of get them involved and be able to look at that. And then we'll usually do more witness-based things in the spring. So men will have a chance, we call it Aeros Tales. So men will have a chance to just share their story of coming to know the Lord or kind of their journey through life, which we found is just a great way, again, for those men who are maybe more on the margins or are less involved with their faith and maybe distant from the Lord. It's easier to just kind of hear that witness and be able to ask questions and really engage in that way. And then in the summertime, we usually look at things maybe more philosophical or some special topics. fatherhood has been something that comes up, or just like the life of virtue as a man. So we did a whole series with Bishop Olmsted's Into the Breach about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, where we just invited men to talk a little bit about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father, because we have a number of guys who are part of the club who are husbands and fathers.
And you were telling me, I was surprised, because whenever I was thinking about this league, I thought it would be probably more like single men, maybe in their 20s, but you were telling me there's actually the majority are actually married.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually very interesting. What's kind of the, maybe the attraction there? Do you know?
I think for men, it's a good way to find other men and have that camaraderie, that brotherhood. So I think a lot of guys who come to us who are married and, you know, great fathers, great husbands, brothers, I think there is just something about kind of the time with other men, you know, time with the boys, and to do something that is big and strong and masculine, like playing rugby, I think is obviously a big attraction. But for a lot of us too, I think we also recognize that it's also strong and masculine to love the Lord and pray with one another and try to grow so that we can go home to be better husbands and fathers and be better role models for our families and for our children and for our wives. So I think it's really that virtue piece is what I think really attracts men who just want to be better.
Yeah. And what's been the response of kind of the men towards the, you were talking about like leading in scripture and prayer and all that, and, you know, learning about Advent. What's been kind of the response by maybe those who are Catholic that are, you know, maybe rediscovering their faith, or somebody who's not Catholic or maybe not even Christian?
Yeah, we've had some guys, as you mentioned, kind of rediscover. And I think for some, maybe this kind of lapsed Christian life or lapsed Catholic life, who there's been a little bit of a spark and a reignition. I think the biggest response has been just a safe place for guys to ask questions. A lot of men, I think, come in, and whether it's past wounds or misconceptions or how they've kind of grown up or how they were raised, it's been a really healing thing for a number of guys in the club to just meet Christian guys, Catholic guys who are normal, you know, who will sit down and maybe smoke a cigar, or, you know, like just men who want to be good men. But we've had a lot of guys come into the club with really no background or like you said, no faith whatsoever. And I think there's been some openness and some growth. We've had a couple guys discern seminary. We've had one guy actually, I think he went through RCIA to get confirmed, but had kind of fallen away from his faith and kind of credited the club as a great way for him to kind of get back into his faith and come to know the Lord again. So certainly we have some guys who don't really want to engage too much with all of that, but I think just the, whether you come to formation events or not, to be involved week in, week out, you really just kind of learn by osmosis, you know, and like I said, a safe place for guys to ask questions, and whether it's big questions or challenges that they're facing, it's been a trusting environment for men to learn.
And I think too, the league, it's in one way, it's like a ministry of evangelization for men to have that kind of response, for two to go to the seminary and one to go back to confirmation. That's a big step. And because I think a lot of times, you know, it's, at least in my opinion, there's just a lot of craziness out in the world. There's a lot of confusion. But I think too, that just having that openness to be able to, you know, just talk to your team or to have that support, you know, and I think a lot of guys know that, you know, whether you're discerning or seeking, you know, there's something that does bring men together in sports. And I think there's a different kind of openness. And it might be something where you just relate a lot of times. And so I think that's interesting that, you know, men have that response. But also, what about the philosophy? You were mentioning you do like kind of a course in the philosophy. What is that about?
Yeah, I think just over the years looking for different things to learn about. We have some guys who are really intellectual. We have some men who, you know, converted to the faith or kind of came to know the Lord a little bit later on. Some of it was through marriage or some of it was just through the course of life. And so we have guys who just love to read and read and read. And so I think a few of us just can be a little bit nerdy about it, and it just kind of grew and developed into something. So we did a whole summer. We looked at the five ways of Thomas Aquinas, or the five proofs for God's existence, where we kind of tapped different guys in the club to do some research and to kind of lead a session. We've looked at other virtues with those cardinal virtues that we had a club member who was working on his doctorate in philosophy, like come and run, and couple years ago, we looked at Carl Truman and his book on like the rise and fall of the self, I think is what it's called. But looking at just kind of modern life and modern culture, and where do we see the Christian life in that? How do we respond? So that's been kind of a fun thing for us to do over the summer, of a little bit more of the intellectual side, but yeah. Gives us a chance, yeah, to ask tough questions and try to, yeah, understand how we're called to respond and how we're called to grow and live as men in the world today. So it's
well,
really
that's
cool.
Interesting that men would actually, in a sport, take up that task and want to pass that along. I think that's a really interesting thing. I never even thought about that in terms of sports. But we have to go to a break. But whenever we come back, let's get more into the formation.
Sure.
There's one of the things you said earlier, and it kind of tapped into preaching. And I thought this was interesting because a lot of times in sports, you hear the same message preached over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a striking parallel to that in religion, that there are just certain truths or certain teachings that we kind of do have to hear constantly. Maybe not that we forget, but a lot of times it does have to be, in one sense, just kind of drilled into us. And I think that was always kind of an interesting perspective in football whenever I played, because there were certain elements that were preached on daily. Mm-hmm. And so what are there any things like in rugby that have to be mentioned on a daily basis?
Yes, and our coach, we love him, has been very big from the when he started, I think 4 years ago or five seasons ago. We are very big on fundamentals. And
yes.
So just like, yeah,
okay.
When you came out for football practice,
yeah.
Like we start with the exact same, like simple drills of simple passing and working on simple tackling. And all of those fundamental things are so essential. And it's just like any other sport, but especially with rugby, you know, when it's late in the game and you're exhausted and you're tired, that's when those fundamentals
things start breaking down.
Yeah. And especially in rugby, it's like when you're tired or you go into a tackle lazily, it's like that's where you can get hurt, so you can get injured, or you could hurt somebody else. So every time we train, we do the exact same things at the start to just make sure that we have those fundamentals just drilled to a T, so that when you're tired or distracted or when it gets hard, you know what you're doing and you know how to do it.
And in one sense, it's got to be automatic all the time. And I heard this coach, I thought he always had a really good kind of quote, because he said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I thought he said, because what he was talking about is whenever you get tired, you start making mistakes, you stop caring, and the will to do what's right just goes out the door. You know, and you see that a lot in sports, because there is a grind there, especially kind of at the end. But that's so true even in the spiritual life, that you can be fine for a while, but then things start just kind of breaking down. You know, you kind of get tired of it all.
Yeah.
But to really go back to those fundamentals is so important, because it's kind of something that you almost intuitively know you have to do.
Yeah.
And so I think even in the faith, just going back to the basics, just what are the basics?
Yeah.
You know, and have I strayed from that? And there's a constant, you know, reforming of the self, but even just knowing ourselves, how do you approach that, of just the concept of knowing yourself in a sport like rugby?
I think on the formation side, we tend to have a pretty big focus just on those basics, right, on the kerygma. And so every year we know that we have guys who've been here, but we also have new players and people who haven't been there. So we do have a focus in that regard, just on what is the basic gospel message, and what is it that these men really need to hear time and again. But I think the biggest piece has been, again, just that brotherhood, the family that's developed. We've had guys who've gone through some really tough things and faced really big moments of adversity. And I think the more you spend time with men that you know are going to have your back and that are going to support you, I think the more you can begin to rely on those things that again, are kind of those basic things.
Yeah.
Like knowing that I'm valuable, knowing that I'm loved, knowing that I've got people who have my back. It's a really important thing. And it's really important for us guys from every walk of life and from all over the place who their authentic self is what our club needs. And that's what we want to have. But I think having that support and that love and that brotherhood, that fraternity, really allows us to, like you said, know ourselves and to grow in that knowledge of self, which then just, I think, helps us, again, grow in virtue and become better rugby players, but also just better men.
Yeah, because I think just in sports in general, it's like somebody may be good at running, catching, tackling, but really being able to identify the gifts of the other, you know, and what they kind of bring. And how does maybe your league or yourself kind of approach, you know, whenever you see somebody with a gift, you know, how do you kind of bring that out or highlight that?
Oh, yeah. On the rugby side, it's a huge thing, right? One of the best tacklers I've ever met is a guy who is not big, right?
Yeah.
He's maybe 165, 170 pounds, but he can run all day and he can tackle anybody. And so knowing that he is in the back of our field playing fullback, like we know that if someone breaks through, like chances are he's going to get him.
And that's a real skill to have.
Yeah.
I mean, open field tackling, none of that's easy.
No. And it's good, but he's not going to be the guy who's necessarily going to, you know, break the big run or like, you know, bust through something. So I think in rugby, it's good just as the sport goes to recognize gifts and talents or to know, like, I'm not going to be able to get there in time, but I trust that someone will get there. Or I know that in this moment, like, I'm the one that has to step up and I really need to push through and be the one to do it. But I think for our club, just, you know, we're a younger club. We just finished our eighth season. We're a smaller club. And so we've had to learn how to adapt and how to grow so that our club can be sustainable.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have people, board of directors who have just, again, different perspectives that help our club grow and different officers. But as a completely volunteer, you know, run and no one's getting paid a salary, like we're just here to have a good time, we've learned how to really tap guys who have different gifts to help our club grow and to put them into positions of leadership and really empower them so that the club will continue to not just survive, but continue to grow and thrive.
Yeah, that trust factor is big, you know, and just being able to rely on others. I bet as the president, you feel that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just probably, that's probably a big weight, you know?
Yeah, but I've got really great people in all of our other positions that make it really easy for me to focus on kind of the overall culture of the club. But we have guys who, really talented in a number of different ways that handle all of the things that I have no idea how to do. And we work together, you know, so that team aspect, that kind of brotherhood, familial aspect is the only reason that we're able to survive and grow.
And I think too, just combining the brotherhood and even the humility that we are reliant on the other often. I mean, so in our spiritual lives or in sports or at work, you know, we're just so dependent a lot of times on what other people are doing. And I think just cultivating that sense of responsibility and duty goes a long way in sports. Well, Adam, where can we actually find more information about the Arrows and the Football League?
Yeah, so our website, arrowsrugby.com, is a great way for you to kind of go and see. We've got everything up there from schedules and match schedules and kind of our history of the club. But that's probably number one. And then you can find us, I think, Arrows RFC on Facebook. We've got an Instagram, so we're on social media as well, but the website really is kind of the one-stop shop.
Okay, well, we've run out of time, but Adam, thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Well, Father Mark, one of the things that was brought up during the interview was one thing that really surprised me was that a lot of married men, you know, are playing rugby. And I think there's something to be said about that in the sense that, you know, a lot of men are looking for that brotherhood, that Christian brotherhood that's going to bring, I think, a positive influence in their life of how to grow in prayer, spirituality, becoming a better husband, a better father. And that's such a voice that we need. We need to be surrounded by, you know, those voices that really give us maybe the information or the encouragement and or the direction that we need to really kind of carry out, you know, our duties or just our walking with the Lord.
Yeah, I love that part of the interview when he's talking about the guys getting together and then sharing themselves of their own spirit, their own experience of maybe growing in fatherhood or their masculinity. I think that is so powerful. And I think men do that well. If you can get them together and share, you know, they want to push the ball forward, you know, and they reflect on things. They like to come up with ideas and you know, just help the young, the next guy, you know, mentor. Yeah. There's just something hardwired in men to mentor, I think. So I've seen that many times with guys getting together, and the power of sharing your own personal experience on this topic, whatever. It could be theology or fatherhood or service.
I think it's interesting, you know, they bring a spiritual formation and an intellectual formation.
Yeah.
And just that apostle of going out and serving others. I think you combine all that and you have a very strong foundation. And I think that's one of the benefits of, you know, really this ministry. Not only that is it ordered, you know, to evangelizing Catholics and non-Catholics alike, but really also bringing just a religious and spiritual foundation to build upon.
Right.
You know, the fact that you're learning the scriptures or praying or maybe studying the philosophy for the first time, all that goes a long way. Just in our growth and our faith with others and with the church. But I think too, we realize we're not doing it alone.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a big theme that we often talk about, is that we're not alone in our walk in this life.
And men need to get together, we need to have male friendships and things. And Adam's a Steubenville grad, so he's a witness to evangelization. If you can get rugby players to do this, right? To be civilized, to accept the faith, to live the faith. I say that jokingly. I had a great experience with my rugby team when I was chaplain, but it's great to bring the faith into whatever we do. It enriches it. Mm-hmm. And especially like the brotherhood part of it, I think. You form good friendships. Men oftentimes need that vehicle to come together, need something to put them together, and then that natural brotherhood grows. So we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send His Holy Spirit and guide and direct you in your life. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
The sun will always shine, and in the heart of every storm, you'll always be the eye. No height nor depth, the final breath can keep me from your love. Oh my God, you chose me and forever show me. My life is part of your plan. My name is carved in your hands. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Here on your promise I stand. You finish what you began. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Your love won't let me go. Your love won't let me go. You made the sun, the moon and sky in every galaxy. Creation in your arms, said I'm the missing piece. And now the author of the stars lives inside my heart. Oh my God, you chose me.
You chose me.
And forever show me. My life is part of your plan. My name is carved in your hands. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Here on your promise I stand.
I stand.
You finish what you began. But I know who holds my future. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. There's never a day or an hour or minute,
oh, no.
Time in my life when you haven't been in it. I